Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org Ship Store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Beth. Welcome, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Weekly Blog Radio. Today we have with us Steve, who's our techie, and me, who's the director. For those non-members listening out there, there's a waterway around the eastern half of the North America. It includes the Intracoastal on the East Coast and the Gulf, the Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canal, and the Inland River System. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association is an association made up of people who like to share the sense of adventure and curiosity. Our association's primary purpose is to give you information and enhance the overall experience of the Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to become a member. I am very pleased to announce that our guest host this week is Jerry Nessensen, a very valued AGLCA commander sponsor, and Jerry is the president of ValveTech Petroleum. He'll be talking about the fact that the newer fuels require winterizing additives, and he's going to tell us all about it. If anyone has any comments or questions for Jerry during the show, there's a toll-free number that you can call into. It's 877-497-1815. Jerry, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, Steve, and all listeners. Pleased to be with you this morning. And the calendar keeps flipping over each day. We ultimately get toward the end of boating season. Of course, I've been a boater for 35 years up in Chicago, then half a loop up and back from Florida a couple times. But most years, I'm like most folks and need to pull the boat for winter storage. So those folks that are not lucky enough to continue cruising through the winter or spend the beautiful winter down in Florida or the Bahamas and so forth, I guess it's time to start thinking about haul out and getting the boats prepared for winter storage.
Jerry, what is new about the fuel that makes it so important to add additives in winter?
That's a great question, Janice. And, of course, we're all familiar with ethanol, gasoline, and how that's changed the whole dynamics of using gasoline and in marine applications. And to most of us loopers, it's not as much of a critical issue as most recreational boaters because most of our boats, of course, are diesel. But what most diesel boaters don't understand at this point is that all the diesel fuel sold in the United States today for recreational boating, all the diesel fuel that's now available for about the last year or so at marinas is a new formulation of diesel, and it's called ultra-low sulfur diesel. So about 98% of the sulfur has been removed from diesel fuel, and to a certain extent that's beneficial to the environment. It is less emissions, less sulfuric acid, so forth. However, it does present some significant problems, and particularly for diesel, this fuel being used in marine applications. Additionally, what people don't recognize is that part of the government program to increase the use of renewable fuels, biodiesel is being blended into ultra-low sulfur diesel, typically up to 5% in most areas, which actually it's not required to be identified on the fuel pump or dispenser, such as ethanol is. So the diesel fuel has changed significantly, and of course gasoline has changed significantly because of the ethanol. We're mostly familiar with problems with ethanol is that it's very unstable. It contains a huge amount of water. Water is corrosive. It will tend to separate from the gasoline, which then causes a fuel that's unusable. And also it creates more deposits in the engines. Ultra-low sulfur is much the same. it is much less stable than higher sulfur diesel because the sulfur was a good antioxidant that kept the fuel stable. Even though we know that fuels go bad, whereas a typical diesel fuel could be stored 2-3 months without becoming oxidizing and starting to gum up and so forth, that time frame is much shorter today. Ultra-low sulfur diesel and biodiesel hold more moisture in suspension, so that can cause more corrosion. And, of course, moisture in diesel fuel ultimately tends to cause sludge, and that plugs filters.
Probably. Are you saying that the fuel can't be stored more than 2 or 3 months?
Not safely, no. Not
really?
That fuel starting to and typically when we would most virtually all boaters when they would put the boat up, haul out, lay up for winter, we would all add a stabilizer, and I think that's pretty common. Either diesel fuel or gasoline. Boaters would typically stabilize the fuel, and that's all you really needed to do to use a good stabilizer. That's not sufficient today because you need an additive product that has multiple components that will not only stabilize the fuel but protect it from corrosion because these fuels hold so much more water. Anytime water comes in contact with metal, internal engine components for an extended period of time, of course, it tends to rust and cause corrosion. The biggest problem with ultra-low sulfur diesel and biodiesel is that it's a breeding. They are fuels that are just a breeding ground for bacteria. Diesel boaters have always had a problem with bacteria forming in diesel fuel. And most boaters use a biocide to prevent that. Or, of course, when a boater buys ValveTech marine diesel fuel at a certified ValveTech marina, that diesel fuel already contains a biocide, a stabilizer, corrosion inhibitor, detergent to clean up the deposits. So those additives are already in the fuel. But when you leave that fuel over the winter, and depending on the storage conditions, the condition of the tanks, and so forth, it's a good idea, even if you have ValveTech marine diesel in those engines, in those fuel tanks, to add additional products. So the point being that we've all typically used a stabilizer before for ethanol, for gasoline, or for diesel fuel. Today, because these fuels have changed significantly, you need what we call multifunctional additives. And for diesel fuel, or you have to use multiple additives. For diesel fuel, you must use a biocide to prevent bacteria. And we all know once you get bacteria in a system, it's a mess, and it's expensive, and it will shut your engine down. And also, bacteria can be very corrosive. So you need a biocide. You need to add a stabilizer, a corrosion inhibitor, and certainly something that keeps the entrained water from dropping out and causing sludge on the bottom of the tank. That can be done by filling up with Valvec marine diesel fuel. Now, we also make a product called BioGuard Plus 6. And BioGuard Plus 6 is a multifunctional biocide. By that, I mean it's a biocide, which is probably the most important thing, but it also contains a stabilizer, so that fuel would typically be stable for up to 2 years if you, unfortunately, didn't pull you, relaunch your boat in the spring for one reason or another. Or people have sailboats or trawlers that don't use a lot of fuel. But basically, as a biocide, what will prevent any bacteria growth, a stabilizer that will stabilize the fuel, corrosion inhibitor that will coat the internal engine parts so that you don't get corrosion, a lubricity improver, and a cetane improver so that when that fuel is cold in spring, it'll start up real nicely without smoke and start up quickly. So that's the story on the diesel fuel, and I'm sure most people, although our members in the association are typically, more familiar and more technically astute than most recreational boaters who just get in, turn on the key, and run for a couple hours a weekend. Obviously, if you're really living aboard and you're cruising, fuel is very, very critical. We all know that diesel fuels, there's always been quality problems with diesel fuels. So I think boaters, our folks are a lot more familiar with these problems. On the ethanol, on the gasoline side, most of our boats are diesel, but those that might be gasoline are certainly for the dinghies. Again, a stabilizer, just an old-fashioned stabilizer, is not acceptable. You must have a product that has a stabilizer plus a corrosion inhibitor. The ethanol water mix is very corrosive, and the engine manufacturers are seeing just epidemics of corroded, failed carburetors, which mostly outboards still are carbureted. So that's really the story. You really need these two different products. BioGuard Plus 6 is our product that's available for diesel, and Valvec Ethanol Gasoline Treatment is our product for an ethanol blend. Again, when you fill up with Valvec Marine Gasoline at a Valvec Marina, that fuel already has that same form, the product in the fuel. So that would take care of both your gasoline and diesel, you're fine to get started in the spring.
Jerry, I need to break for a commercial, and then I have a question.
Great.
Steve, the commercial was going to be from Barbara Marine, who's our newest Admiral sponsor. Are you ready, Steve?
Yep.
Okay.
Barber Marina is a new world-class marina located on the Intracoastal Waterway at Daymarker 74, just north of the city of Orange Beach, Alabama. Marina amenities include concrete floating dock, wet slips that accommodate vessels to 125 feet, a 350-slip dry storage building capable of handling boats up to 42 feet, a ship store, gasoline and high-speed diesel pumps, restrooms, showers, laundry facilities, Wi-Fi internet service, pump-out facilities, 24-hour security, 24-hour video surveillance, a hurricane storage plan, and a full-service boatyard. For more information, visit www.barbermarina.com or call 251-987-2628. Barber Marina is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Sounds like a great facility. Jerry, I have two basic questions that may be very, very, very showing my ignorance of the whole issue. But at what point, at what temperature, do you make the decision it's time to winterize my fuel?
No, it's not based temperature. It's based on the length that you would be storing, length of time you'd be storing the boat. So most boats, of course, are pulled in September, October, not launched till April, May, or some June. So that's a 6 to 8 month span. And whether it be gasoline or diesel fuel, the fuel has to be winterized. I guess the rule of thumb now, excuse me, is that if you're going to have gasoline, ethanol blended gasoline in your tank for more than 3 weeks, believe it or not, that fuel should be treated with an ethanol gasoline treatment, like a Valvetech ethanol gasoline treatment. Diesel fuel can store a little longer. Perhaps a month, perhaps a month and a half. But virtually all diesel fuel, regardless whether it's stored or not, for any length of time, should have a biocide, should be treated with a biocide. Today, with today's fuels and the critical environment that we use those fuels in the marine application, which is much different than automotive, it's just senseless not to treat the fuel. And somewhere along the line, there's going to be a short-term problem with either gumming up or filter plugging, or a long-term problem with corrosion, which doesn't happen for perhaps a year or so. But when it does, I mean, you're talking about possibly a total engine rebuild. So corrosion, or certainly in diesel fuel, bacteria infestration and the system being overrun with bacteria and algae. And anybody who's ever had it in their boat knows that it's a nightmare. It's hugely expensive. And sometimes you can't get rid of bacteria, even using the best of biocides, polishing the fuel. You might not be able to get rid of it for a couple of years.
Wow.
So that the word of wise is that the fuel additives, and you know, one of the problems is which fuel additives to use. It's very, very confusing. There's all kinds of products out there. It does take some time to research what you're using, because some additives are good. There's some additives that just don't do what they say they're going to do. But unfortunately, there are a few additives in the market that have come into market the last year or so that actually are causing engine problems and engine failures. So due diligence is really prudent.
Why don't you tell us about the NMMA certification program? That's supposed to help control these issues, is it not?
Exactly. First of all, NMMA, that's National Marine Manufacturers Association. That's the association that represents boat builders, engine manufacturers, marine accessory manufacturers, not only in the U.S., but virtually all over the world. It's called National Marine Manufacturers Association. It's a huge association. Located in Chicago, of course, in Washington. Again, it's made up of primarily boat manufacturers, marine engine manufacturers, and so forth. Obviously, that trade association is in business to make sure that boats that create standards for boats and motors and ultimately for the benefit of boaters so that they enjoy the hard-earned money that we spend and they're safe and they provide some entertainment. It's a very technical group made up of different committees. And the engine manufacturers, primarily the gasoline engine manufacturers, Mercury, Yamaha, Evinrude, and so forth, have been seeing a significant amount of engine failures over the last couple of years. that have been reported to them, primarily under warranty, of course. And these are obviously fairly new engines. As they've researched this problem, they've determined that it's not the engines that are failing, and it's great to a great degree, it's not the fuel that's actually causing the failure. In some cases, it's actually fuel additives that have come into market over the last couple of years, primarily because of this, because of the ethanol issue. It's created a huge market for fuel additives, and the fact that there is no actual industry specifications for a fuel additive, believe it or not, like there is for motor oils, they've determined that these products are actually causing these failures. So the engine manufacturers went to NMMA and said this is a significant problem that's going to impact boating in general. There's so much expense and aggravation, if you will, with boating to degree if somebody buys an engine and it's $20,000-$30,000, the big two big outboards or inboards, and you're under warranty and it's a fuel additive that's caused the problem, we're not going to pay for it. But it's going to impact the industry. So NMMA has created a committee to develop a process to actually create a certification program, a testing to qualify additives, and a certification program, much like if most boaters are familiar with marine motor oils, have a certification from NMMA. TCW3 actually is for two-cycle engines, and FCW is for four-cycle engines. So if there's a manufacturer or a motor oil manufacturer to manufacture a marine-grade motor oil, they would have to, in order for the industry to accept that product, it would have to pass a gauntlet of tests that have been developed by the engine manufacturers, and then they are able to sell a product with the certification. So in the process of doing the same thing for fuel additives, and once this program is developed, it's going to be able to at least identify for the boater which products are NMMA certified, certified by the National Manufacturers Association as a product that's passed ASTM, SAE, NACE, the test for corrosion, stability, water dispersants, and so forth. So ValvTech is on the committee with other fuel additive manufacturers, refiners such as Chevron, Citgo, Shell, and so forth, engine manufacturers like Mercury, Yamaha, and so forth, and are all working together to come up with this certification program. The committee has had four or five meetings. It's actually moving much faster than one would think. I've been on some of these committees in the automotive or the fleet side of the business, which generally takes years to do. And in the last year, we're really very close to coming up with a program, and I think that's going to provide a lot of lot of protection, or a way at least for a boater to determine that that particular product, if it has the seal, the certification seal, that they're sure that it it meets these standards. So we're glad to see that happening. We know that there's products out there that are being used that could really cause significant problems, and hopefully this is going to be something that will be very beneficial to the industry and help boaters enjoy the time that they're underwater.
Can you give us a time frame, Jerry? When do you think this certification program will actually be launched?
Well, we're very close to coming up with the final test protocols and the standards, and that's probably taken the most amount of time. There are certain fuel additive manufacturers that have fought this program because they know that the products will not meet the certification. In fact, one additive company actually threatened to sue NMMA because they feel that they're doing it just to keep their additive out of the marketplace, which is really ridiculous. It's a very popular product, and I prefer not to name it, but I think it's not technology or not chemistry that's typically used by refiners or engine manufacturers and claiming new, you know, new mysterious type of components. And, you know, there's been snake oil and magic mouse milk and people selling elixirs for years, and the fuel additive industry does not have the best reputation. But
so is it safe to say that if you buy a new engine or you buy your boat and it has an engine you're not familiar with, you can go to the engine manufacturer and get recommendations?
Absolutely. And, you know, Valvetech is a company that actually makes fuel additives for most engine manufacturers for their private label products. And I tell people all the time, you know, believe me, we have a great product, but if you've bought a Mercury engine and you're not sure of what engine, you know, or an Evinrude or so forth and what product to use, I would certainly think that you would want to use engine manufacturers and OEMs product, because you can be absolutely sure that those products are compatible and you know, with their engines. So, you know, I'd say either buy Valvetech products or buy a Mercury Quicksilver product or, you know, Detroit Cummins fuel additive or something like that. One can call their engine manufacturer, and I'm sure they would recommend their own product, you know, or a comparable product.
Jerry, how could you protect yourself with a warranty? I mean, should you keep your receipts? I mean, basically, if you start to have problems, how can you prove that you used a safe additive?
Well, I guess you just hit it. You know, have your receipts, have your receipt for the products you've purchased, and prove it that way. I would think that would be the best way of doing it. But certainly for winter, there's almost more problems that fuel can cause when it's just stagnant and sitting for 8 months, obviously, than if it's being used and fresh fuel is putting in all the time. But I can't stress enough that these fuels have changed. Ethanol, everybody kind of recognizes the problems, and most people are using a fuel additive of one sort. And I'd say, again, research it and make sure, look at the claims and see if it's realistic and so forth. And just because a lot of people are using something, there's been a couple additives that have just spent millions and millions of dollars on advertising products that technically make no sense whatsoever. You know, and
Jerry, as a novice, I mean, fuel is liquid gold. I mean, it's so expensive. But would you recommend you drain your tanks before you store your boat for the winter?
That's always been a debate, which is the best thing to do. And if you can drain a tank 100%, that's a good way of doing it. But you'll never be able to drain a tank 100%. The best solution we've come up with, in talking to engine manufacturers and refiners and so forth, is to actually fill the tank about 95%. Leave as little airspace in there as possible, because particularly most boats are stored outside. You get a significant amount of temperature variance. And when the temperatures increase and decrease, what's going to happen is there's going to be condensation that develops inside the tank. And the more water you have, ultimately you're going to create a phase separation situation with ethanol fuel, or you're going to create a great growing situation,
mm-hmm,
environment for bacteria and sludge in the diesel. So if you have that tank, you can't fill it all the way, because if you fill it all the way and the fuel is cold, once it warms up, obviously expands and you have a problem there. So we say fill the tank to about between 90 and 95% and put your fuel additive in first, and then, you know, fill the tank. Don't put the fuel additive in after the tank is full of fuel, because it won't mix properly. But That's the best way. And when you do fill the tank up to 90%, you've already additized the fuel, run the engine for 10 minutes or so to make sure that all that fuel is additized fuel has gotten through the fuel system. That's really the best way to do it.
Okay, Jerry, you've made a kind of dry subject interesting. Thank you. Steve, do you have any comments or questions that our members might have out there?
Well, no. I have an observation which boils down to if fuel is liquid gold, then bottled water is liquid platinum.
Yeah, I know. Price of water at those convenience stores is crazy.
Well, we were at a hotel recently, and they had a bottle of water for sale, and I kind of calculated a gallon of water at that price is $12.
Yeah, I've been in the fuel business for a long time, and people really complain when the product prices get up to $3, $4. They don't realize, you know, it's $4 to $5 billion to build a refinery. It's probably twice that much now for offshore well. And then when you look at $12 a gallon for bottled water, it's kind of hard to it's kind of hard to justify. But we don't like high fuel prices, and don't blame Valtech for it. We have no control on the pricing. Our marinas do the best they can to keep the prices as reasonable as possible.
Gary, just one question that may give you a plug, which you deserve for doing this for us today. But can you basically assume if you go up to a Valtech certified marina, if you have questions about the fuel, somebody at that marina will be able to help you?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, the owners and the service managers typically aren't working the fuel dock, so I wouldn't feel that the folks on the fuel dock are the best source. If there's any questions on fuel, we have a tech group here in Chicago that's available during normal working hours, obviously. You know, we are the major supplier to most of the major fleets in the United States, like Waste Management, Ryder, and FedEx, and so forth. And we supply 450 fuel distributors, gasoline diesel distributors. So we have a group here in Chicago. If you really have a question about fuel, whether it be Valtech fuel or not, or fuel additives, one can call our tech service group, which is 800-728-8258. That's 800-728-8258. Or you can always email us at info@valvetech.com, or certainly go to the email and to the website www.valvetech.com send us an email. We'll answer all of them. There's a lot of information on fuel, obviously, on our website, I think those are good sources. But I wouldn't typically feel that some of the guys working on fuel docks would be the best source.
Thank you very much for giving us the webpage and the phone number. Our webpage, www.greatloop.org, has all of our blog radio shows archived. So if you've missed anything that you'd like to look at, just go to the webpage, and on the left-hand column, it's AGLCA Blog Talk Radio. Jerry, again, thank you, and we'll be with everyone next week.
You're welcome, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody at the bottom.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.